And happy Labor Day weekend. By the way, do you know why this weekend was chosen by Congress to be Labor Day weekend? It's midway between July, the 4th of July, and Thanksgiving. And so the Congress wanted to establish mandatory rest for the family. And they know that a society needs that, right? And so that was back in the days when our society was a lot more, I guess, sensitive to the things of the Lord. And it still is in many ways. But I always reminded of that during Labor Day, of how things are built into our culture that reflect the glory of God. Because our culture, although it's not that perfect, obviously, our American culture was founded on a Judeo-Christian ethic. Well, life is about being made in the image of God. And we do what we do because God is who he is. Amen? If God was different than who he was or who he is, we could be different because we were made in his image. So we've been studying God. We've been studying the Holy Spirit. We've looked at the deity of God. We've looked at the personhood of God and the Holy Spirit. The deity of the Holy Spirit, the personhood of the Holy Spirit, and now today we're going to look at the works of the Holy Spirit. Would you join me one more time in prayer? Thank you. Father, we thank you so much for this opportunity to delve into your word for a few minutes here on Sunday morning. And we thank you that we can come with all sincerity. Some of us are coming from a busy week. Maybe we're coming this morning, we can just jump for joy, all the wonderful things that you've done in our lives this last week. Or maybe there's some really hard things that we're going through. I've certainly had those and even have them now. But Lord, it doesn't matter whether it's good or whether it's bad, whether the rain is coming or whether there's sunshine. You are always shining upon us. And it's not just an eloquent way of saying things, it's just the truth. And we ask, God, that your truth would set us free here this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So, let's get right into it. We are looking at the deity of the Holy Spirit, the works of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is instrumental in our salvation. He regenerates us. He gives us life. He gives us the power to live as we should. He unites us permanently with Christ the Father forever. Isn't that an awesome thought? That you and I, every person in this auditorium or in this room here this morning, will be able to live with God your Father forever and ever. Isn't that a wonderful thought? Where there be no tears, no pain, no suffering. Well, the Holy Spirit seals it. He promises it, and we can be assured of it. But the Holy Spirit does more than that. He's a leader. He's a convictor of sin. He empowers us. He makes us holy. He prays for us. He's that ever-present teacher and that guide. In John 16, it says that the Spirit of truth will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. And so we can see this clear conduit from God the Father to us with the truth. We have nothing else that we get our truth from than the Bible. R.C. Sproul says this, "I think the greatest weakness in the church today is that almost no one believes that God invests his power in the Bible. Everyone is looking for power in a program, in a methodology, in a technique, in anything and everything but that in which God has placed it, his word. He alone has the power to change lives for eternity, and that power is focused on the scriptures. And so that's what we're going to look at this morning. Well, let's get right into it. Remember, we talked about the personhood of the Holy Spirit. And primarily the personhood of the Holy Spirit is demonstrated by the love of the Holy Spirit, as seen there in the yellow. And I like that second scripture right there from 2 Corinthians 5. Either way, Christ's love controls us. Since we believe that Christ died for all, we also believe that we have all died to our old life. This is what the Apostle Paul said, who was filled with the Holy Spirit. Apostle Paul was a wonderful leader, wasn't he? My friends, if you're in leadership, if you have any influence over anyone, and you don't have love, then you need to take a time out. And if I ever am a leader of this church, that becomes very backwards or weak in love, then tell me to take a break, please. Because it's awful to be in leadership without being driven by love. Because it's useless. And you can be abusive to others. So watch your love capacity, okay? And make sure that you're connected to God's love. I was talking to a PhD student the other day at Johns Hopkins, and I was asking him how his walk with the Lord is, and he said, I don't have one. I said, so where are you with the Lord then? And he says, well, I have a question for you, Tom. He called me pastor, and I said, well, what's your question? And he said, can you love without knowing God? Can you experience the same kind of love without having a relationship with God? How would you answer that question? Well, the answer to that question is you never love without God, whether you're a believer or not a believer, right? Even if you don't believe in God, you'll love like God. Because you're made in His image, and you don't have a choice. You can love for the wrong reasons, of course, but any kind of selfless interest and interest in another person is love. God is love. And so where there's love, there's God. So I said, yes. But the only reason we can love is because He first loved us. Amen. But then I said to my friend, there are other issues besides love. There's something called eternal life. And the Father wants you to love the way you're experiencing that beautiful form of love, not just now, but forever. And you can't love forever without Him. Because there's no other name under heaven that you can be saved other than Jesus Christ. So I said, my brother or my friend, the real question is not what love is, but who is Jesus Christ? So let's talk about that. And we did. It's a wonderful thing, love. Here again in the yellow, it says, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of Him. And that is what the Holy Spirit does at the center of His core. He speaks the truth in love. And so when we look at the works of the Holy Spirit, we must remember this. And can we all read this together from 2 Corinthians 3? 16 through 18 is a wonderful, wonderful scripture. Let's all read it together. But whenever someone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away, for the Lord is the Spirit. And wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So all of us who have had that veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord, and the Lord, who is the Spirit,
makes us more and more like him as we change into his glorious image.
And that's what it's all about, isn't it? Being changed into his glorious image. Well, what is that image? Well, what is that work? Well, how does he change us more into the image of God? Well, certainly through his deity, and certainly through his personhood, but certainly through his works. Well, what are those works? Well, let's answer that question with the first one, and the second one, and they're related. The first one says this, and it involves the birth of Jesus. The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." And then you see that calling, that coming upon you by the Holy Spirit again, when he's involved in the sending of missionaries, Paul and Barnabas, in Acts 13. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Apart from me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work to which I have called them." And you see here in these two scripture texts, guys, a mighty work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is involved in the birth of Jesus and in the sending of missionaries. We are called by the Holy Spirit. But what is our calling? What is that calling? Well, the calling here in the Greek is proskaleo, and it means to call towards oneself. It means to summon. So when the Holy Spirit, listen, this is so important. When the Holy Spirit calls you, he calls you to him. He calls you to God. You're not just a pawn in a chess game. He doesn't have this utilitarian ideology where he just wants to use you until the work is done. And then he says, "Thank you very much," and goes on to somebody else. No, no, no. We are his children. We're so precious in his sight. So he calls you unto himself first, and then he commissions you. You can see this, we won't turn to it, in Matthew 10, 1. He called unto him his 12 disciples, Jesus did. In Matthew 15, 10, Jesus called his disciples unto him. "I have compassion on the multitudes. They were with 3 days without any food." And so Jesus calls his disciples and says, "These guys are hungry. What are we going to do?" And in Matthew 18, 32, Jesus called a little child unto him. Wouldn't you have loved to have been there? And Jesus just comes up to this little child and maybe puts him on his lap, and he did, and he laid hands on this child. He called the child unto him. In Mark 6, verses 7, he called unto him the 12 and began to send forth by two and gave them power over unclean spirits. So you see this beautiful thing here in the calling of God through the Holy Spirit. This is just one aspect of his works. When he calls Mary and when he calls Barnabas and Saul. Mary, small little young girl, a poor young lady, 16, 17 years old. But a young lady that had a healthy respect for God. Mary was a wonderful woman. I grew up Catholic. Obviously, Mary is important to the Catholic faith. But I say this respectfully and lovingly. Mary has been honored too much in the Catholic faith. Mary didn't want to be honored that much when you read what she said about her calling, and we won't go into that at this point. But let me just say this. You may not think How can I say this? You may not think you're very special. Or maybe you think you're really special. But the one who really thinks you're special is the only one that really matters, right? And that's God. God thought Mary as being very special. And so he says to her, within you, the nations will be blessed. And I will bring the redemption. I will bring the solution for the problem of evil within you. A nobody. Can you imagine how Mary must have felt? Now, why does God choose people like that? Did he just look at all these poor young ladies and humble ladies, young ladies, and say, you fit? Was it based on anything? Well, the sovereignty of God is the sovereignty of God. You can't question that. However, with a closer look at why God called Mary, and you know, we're talking about calling here. We're talking about the works of the Holy Spirit, so follow me on this. I want to dig a little deeper on this concept of calling and who God calls. Mary was more than just a humble servant girl. Mary was more than just a dependable, humble servant girl. Mary had a wonderful understanding of Scripture. Did you know that? When you read her response after she was called, exalting the Lord, when you read that prayer, go ahead and read it. It's called the Magnificat. You read that prayer, and it sounds like an Old Testament prayer. It has the fear of the Lord in it. It has the reality of his power. It's magnificent in its structure and giving credit to whom credit is due. It's like an Old Testament. She prays like an Old Testament prophetess. In fact, if you contrast it with an Old Testament prayer, you will see something very similar there. Oh, was that just happen chance? No. She had an understanding of Scriptures orally. She was a student of Scriptures. So why am I telling you this? Why? This is very exciting news. The second most exciting news, the news of your salvation, you know what that is. The news of assignment. God will base his assignment to you, my sisters in Christ, my brothers in Christ, my older sisters in Christ, my younger sisters in Christ, based on how much your heart, how much your love is directed towards him. There's a scripture that says that God looks to and fro throughout the earth. I mean, think of the picture here, my friends. Think of the picture. It's a glorious picture. God is looking to and fro throughout the earth, looking for a man, looking for a woman, no matter what age you are, whose heart is fully and completely his. Mary's was. And so he makes his decision based on a couple of factors. And there's probably more that we don't know. Now, isn't that encouraging to you this morning? You have some control in a submissive way of the calling of God in your life. And I don't care what you've done, and I don't care who you are. He looks through the eyes of truth and the eyes of honesty. And he says, you're it. You're the one. You're the one I've been looking for. And Mary, in her courageous way, says, I'm ready. It was the same way with Paul and Barnabas, where he calls them in a prayer meeting. And he says, I want to set you apart for the work that I've called you. You see, guys, while we're talking about calling, the works of the Holy Spirit, we all have two kinds of calling in life. We have the missional calling of God on our life. And we have the occupational calling on life. Can I describe it that way? Follow me with this. The first call, the missional calling of God, can be summed up when Jesus said, come, follow me, and you will become fishers of men. So our first calling is the calling of coming, salvation, of becoming, growth, and sanctification, and then of going. You can think of it that way. Coming, becoming, and going, and making all disciples. You see, this is the primary calling that we have. Jesus never said, go into all the world and make money. He never said, go into all the world and make a beautiful family. He didn't say, go into all the world and make huge structures and make the world a better place to live in. Now, all of those things are important, of course. But he puts the primary focus on making you a better child, first and foremost, and stealing you back from the devil and into his loving arms, and then says, watch to the Holy Spirit what I can do if you submit to me. And then here, you see him sending Paul and Barnabas out, and he will send us. So we have the missional calling, but then we have the occupational calling, where he has given you natural talents, wonderful natural talents. He's given you spiritual gifts. Do you know your spiritual gifts? Hospitality, or teaching, or leadership, or administration, or mercy. He's given you those natural talents, those spiritual gifts, and then your acquired skills that you gather throughout your whole life. And that's your occupational calling. You can't always use your spiritual gifts in your occupational calling. You can't always use your missional calling in your occupational calling. I can, because I'm a pastor. But it doesn't matter what you use where. What is God asking us? To keep the main thing, and keep it in priority. There's a couple here this morning where I think demonstrates what I'm trying to say, to give you an illustration. Oh, we can look at Mary, and we can look at Barnabas and Saul, but there's another couple here that Well, they had their priorities right, and they still do. Many of you know them, and they've done a great job at it. Well, they've received the call to go somewhere else. Work is taking them to another location. They feel the prompting of the Holy Spirit, who says, set apart for me, Peter and Jess, for the work that I've called them. And I've asked them to come forward this morning, and I thought, as a family, we could just pray for them. Can we do that? And so, brother, sister, if the little one as well, Jackson, come on up, and I want to pray for them this morning. You know, you can look at while they're coming. You can look at a situation the way it is, or you can look at a situation, my sweetie, the way it could be, or the way it should be. You can see the weaknesses in church and ministry and life, and you can say, oh, isn't that a shame? I wish it was better. You can complain about it, you can gossip about it, or you can do something about it. And I'm not going to exalt this couple anymore, but I want to say, they didn't, and they still don't, see things not just as they are, but as they could be. Body of love, body of truth, a body of openness and honesty and transparency, and a body that isn't just interested in themselves, but helping the poor, reaching out to those who need it. And that was an amen. Father in heaven, as we lay hands, as you gently lay your hands upon this dear couple in Christ, I ask that you would send them forth by the power of your Holy Spirit, as you did with Paul and Barnabas. Father, you've blessed them with a wonderful son, Jackson. You've entrusted them with another wonderful disciple, and I know he'll be that way. We thank you for his first birth, and we can't wait to see for his second birth as he surrenders his life to you someday. But would you bless this couple? Would you bless my brother and sister in Christ, our brother and sister in Christ? Would you provide for them and guide them and protect them as they keep their callings in the right order? They're so gifted, so kind and wonderful in many ways, so dependable and so servant-hearted and so mercy-motivated. Well, they're just so meant for one another. What's best, Lord, is what's best for you, not for us. And so we gladly support them in prayer. Ask God that you would continue to go before them. Protect their relationship together. May they always have sweet times of communication, as all of us need that if we're married. And may they always continue to bring their requests before you and not be anxious for anything. And I know there's fear. I know there's concern, but your perfect love will cast out that fear. So would you anoint them in the way you've anointed many and give them the strength they need to love you with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength, and one another and their neighbors, whoever those neighbors will be, as themselves. And finally, Lord, would you bring them to a fellowship that honors you, to leaders that are not in it for the wrong reasons, and a church that believes 100% of the Bible to be true, a place where they can grow, and a place where they can serve, and a place where they can be accountable to, And we'll thank you ahead of time for that. And I pray that you will pray for us, that you'll help us as we continue to pray for them. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, brother. Absolutely. God bless you, sweetie. One final work of the Holy Spirit that I'll begin today and finish next week. And that's this. That the Holy Spirit is involved in the creation of the world. And he continues. Can we read all this together? Ready? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. The Spirit of God has made me. The breath of the Almighty gives me life, as it says in Job 33. This word hovering in the Hebrew is kaf. And it means to move. It means to flutter. You know, the eagles that we have, or the hawks that we have in Baltimore County, they're fabulous. People come from all over to paint them. They set up their easels over behind us. And just that type of hovering is what the Holy Spirit is doing here over the waters. And we can see, like an eagle that stirs up its nest and hovers over its young. He spreads his wings over the waters. In Genesis 1:26, and God said, "Let us make man in our own image. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and the fowl and the cattle." So you see here, my friends, the Holy Spirit is a co-creator. He's a creating co-op. And that Holy Spirit lives in you. And do you know that Christians should be the most creative people on the face of the earth? Amen? Oh, it doesn't mean if you're not a Christian, you can't be creative. Of course you can. Does that mean that God is not sovereign? No, it means he is. It means whether you believe in it or not, you're going to be creative because he created you in his image. But all I'm saying is this, that if you're empowered with the Holy Spirit, the same one that made the mountains and the trees and the billions of stars, that same Holy Spirit that lives within you wants to continue to create through you. Don't give up on yourself. Don't think that you don't have much to say. He's ready. God wants to be creative. He wants to not you to be in a consumption mode, but in the creation mode. Our society loves to consume. We love to consume media. We love to consume entertainment. We love to feel good. And we love to look good. And we love to have the goods. And all of that self-centered attention stifles creativity in our lives. Do you agree? Well, you may say, "I'm just too old." Or, "I'm too young. God could never use me in that way." If you're too old, if you think you're too old, next time you take your socks off, I want you to look on the bottom of your foot. And I want you to look really hard until you find that expiration date. There isn't an expiration date on your life that you know of. Don't put one there. Don't put one there. You serve God until your last breath. Jesus Christ did his greatest ministry in the final seconds of his life when he rose from the dead. Amen. The greatest part of your life is ahead of you. Students, it's been wonderful to be with you this last night at our lock-in. You have the whole life ahead of you. And can I just say this? You're going to start school next week, and maybe some of your college students as well. Follow your interests. Develop your skills. Have discernment and good judgment on what's right and what's wrong. And just remember one thing. Your subjects didn't start with the educational system. It started with God himself, who said, "Here's my creation. Now go and subdue it." You are studying the mathematical aspect of God's creation. You're studying the chemical aspect of God's creation. You're studying the sociological, the psychological aspect of God's creation. Every discipline, every department in any university is only an aspect of God's creation. Keep that in mind. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for your calling in our lives. Thank you so much for giving us a clear picture of how interested you are through the power of the Holy Spirit to not waste our lives on useless things, but upon coming, becoming, and going, to use the talents and the gifts that you've given us and the skills that we develop in school and in the marketplace and on-the-job training. God bless the full-time moms who put these two callings together. Sustain them, and I know it's not easy, but it's so important. And help them never to think that they're not accomplishing much. Because Mary did, in carrying your son. So be with us, will you, as we continue to be vessels of your creative ability. I want you to just put out your hands in front of you. Don't lift them up. Just put your palms up. Say, "God, in the quietness of your own heart, I love you. Thank you." It's the worship song that we just sang. "You're so, so good to me." Thank you for eternal life. And thank you that I can call you Abba Father. And that you chose me. And that I said yes. Finally, just say this. Say, "Lord, I give you my time. I give you my talents. I give you my treasures. Use them for your glory and for your honor. In Jesus' name.